Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Verse 48 and 49, we're going to read this, and then I have something that I'd like to just share with you that God kind of just unraveled in my mind and in my spirit this afternoon that goes right along with this, but it's going to help a lot of some of our new believers as you study the Word of God. 1 Samuel 17, verse 48, and the Philistine, that would be Goliath, and the Philistine moved closer to attack him, and David ran quickly toward the battle. Somebody say he ran toward the battle. He ran toward the battle line to meet him. Can I just encourage somebody, if you know Jesus, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, running from the enemy is never an option. We run to the enemy because we know that it's not us, but it's the Holy Spirit in us. It's the God that goes before us that's going to get the job done. Verse 49, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. And when you go on to read this text, that did not kill him. It just stunned him. What killed him is when David went, took his own sword, Goliath's own sword, cut off his head. And then I know it's gruesome, but he carried that head around everywhere he went for a while so everybody would know this is how big my God is. And not only did I fight, I won, but here's the proof that I won in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and tell him giants will fall. Tell him get your popcorn ready. God's about to put on a show. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the house of God. As I was going through my notes today, and this is what I wanted to share with some new believers that are learning how to study your Bible. Here's the thing that I see a lot, and I don't want to throw stones at you. This is just an observation that I've seen in 40 years and that I've seen played out in 20 years. When you're a new believer, you have a zeal to study, but you don't know how to study. And then when you get to be a mature believer, a lot of times you know how to study, but the zeal's gone. So for the mature believer, can I encourage you, get that zeal back. Pray the prayer of David that says, God, give me, restore to me the joy of my salvation. One of my prayers every day is, God, give me a desire for your word, for your presence. God, I want to desire that word more than I do any series on Netflix, any movie franchise in the theaters, any friend, any dinner I could go on. God, let me desire time with you above all of those things. And then if I can encourage the young believers, the new believers in the room today, not only the zeal that you want to study, but learn what it means to really get in the Word of God and learn things that you can take out and apply to your life. And I say that to say this. When I was reading this today, there's a lot of the main characters jump out at me, and we're going to talk about them today. There's Saul, King Saul. King Saul is the king that God had rejected. Samuel is the prophet. Samuel is the prophet that God uses to go anoint David to let him and Jesse know and his brothers know that he would be the next king of Israel. Then there's David who is anointed. We know David's the man after God's own heart, served his generation. He is a giant killer among many other things. You see his brothers there that are passed over that are not anointed to be king. You see Jesse, the one that forgot about David, put David on the backside of nowhere. So I described all of those as because you need to find where you belong in this story. But what a mature believer does is I can learn something from everybody in this story. What do I learn from Saul? Don't disobey God because disobedience costs you your anointing. What do I learn from Samuel? To not look on the outside, to not look at what it looks like by just mere eyes and the physical state or condition. But God said, Samuel, you need to look at the heart of man. Look on the inside. What do I learn from Jesse? To never overlook the small and insignificant things or insignificant people, that God can use anybody and that God can use anything. What do I learn from the brothers? That maybe it's not all the weightlifting and military training that's going to get you to be king. Maybe we should work on the inside just as hard as we work on the outside. And what do I learn from David? To be patient in the process, that God's anointing sometimes starts and begins that process, but sometimes you don't go straight to the palace. Sometimes you're anointed and you're sent right back out into the pasture. So I say all of that in the 2 minutes I've taken to say that to encourage you in this place tonight. Everything you read, you should either gain something that I want to do because this is what happens, or something I don't want to do because I saw what had happened and what it did in their life. That's free. That's worth the drive. That's like your first year of Bible college all in one moment here. You don't owe any tuition. Just pay 15% tithe for the rest of... No, just kidding. I'm kidding. Let's go to the Word of God. As we talk about the resume of a giant killer, there's five things in this series. The resume requirements. Your resume, every believer, every resume has to have the same concepts, the same items on that. There are not different kinds of giant killers. When it comes to believers, there's only one believer, one type of believer that can slay giants. And I believe that every person in this building and watching online, I believe that God has given us the tools. We know that God has given us His Spirit. But I believe that every one of us can be giant killers. So every believer, every resume has to share some similar or some of the same requirements. Building the believer's resume. That your resume should look different this year than it does last year. You should be stronger in August than you were in July. There is no staying the same. You're either growing or you are in the middle of atrophy, which is a nice way of saying you are dying. You're either growing or you are dying. Number three, how to transition from shepherd to soldier. And this is something that Bishop preached many, many Sundays on, or Wednesdays on, many years ago, from sheep to soldier, and talking about how once the New Testament comes and the Holy Spirit shows up, we are no longer called sheep, but God calls us to be soldiers. And so you can come into the kingdom of God as a sheep, but you should be getting stronger and learning what it means to be a soldier. And then we need to make sure that the person better match the paper, meaning the resume that you tell everybody and that you show everybody, you're going to be tested based on what you say you can do. And so don't lie on the resume. Make sure that your walk with God matches your talk with God. Somebody say amen. Last session, we talked about that we are created to win, conquer, and be victorious. Somebody say yes. That's what we were created to be. You were created to be victorious. You were not created to go through life and have every little thing that is not of God knock you down and knock you out. We are called to fight the good fight. Doesn't mean we avoid the fight. It just means that we win, that we are victorious. We talked about the two things that make up a resume are our qualifications and experience. Qualifications are the quality or accomplishment. Our qualifications sometimes, most of the time, fall short when it comes to defeating spiritual giants and winning a spiritual battle. But as I said last week, it is not our qualifications that count. It is the qualifications of Jesus. And I've got good news, church. He has never lost a battle, and He never will. You say, well, it looks like He's going to lose one. If it looks like He's losing, the battle ain't over yet, because the script's about to be flipped and you're going to see God. Don't you know that on day two after Jesus was crucified, there's a lot of people that are thrown in the towel, but Jesus said, hey, they're going to destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I'm going to rise and live again. Again, I want to encourage you, it's not your qualifications, the fruit of the Spirit, that's His Spirit. His qualifications, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, patience, those are His qualifications. When we are filled with the Spirit, those become a daily part of our lives and become part of the qualifications. Some of us are going to defeat giants, not by what we do today, but by being patient in the process and having patience, showing love to somebody who doesn't show love to us, showing joy when there's nothing to be happy about, having peace when calamity is all around you. Those are the things, the qualifications that are going to defeat the enemy. Can I encourage you that the devil doesn't know how you're still standing after everything he's thrown at you in your life, but yet here you are, and you're still praising, and you're still worshiping, and you're still following God. He thought 2020 was going to take you out. You came out of 2020. He thought, man, what do I have to do? Listen, there is nothing you can do to stop me. There is nothing he can do to stop you. The only way that Brandon can be stopped is if Brandon throws in the towel. But let me tell you, God has been too good to Brandon. God has done too much for me to stop now. What he has defeated in my life has set me up for faith for the future. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. That's why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody is called, but there's not a lot of people who will submit to the qualification process, that it is no longer my hand, it's no longer my voice, it's no longer the way I want to fight, but it's God, if this is your fight, then God, I'm going to be obedient to how you say to win this war. Qualifications and experience. Experience is the knowledge or practical wisdom gained from what one has observed, what one has encountered, and what one has undergone. I kind of just glanced through this very quickly last week, but your experience, not in church, because there is a thing as church hurt, and there is times that you could be offended if you choose to be at church. I'm not talking about your experience at church. I'm talking about your encounter with Jesus. Remember, when people hurt you, that's what people do. Hurt people hurt people. And so I never discount the church because of hurt people. I never get mad at the hospital because there's sick people there. Come on now. I want to encourage you that when you showed up today, it doesn't matter the people around you. I want to encourage you and let you know that you are in the presence of Jesus Christ. And when you give your life over to Jesus and you say yes to Him as Savior and Lord, it should and it will change everything. And so when I talk about my experience, it's not my experience at Living Way. You are not given a Living Way commercial or a promo video that we can put on social media. When we talk about your encounter, it's not how good the worship was or how good the preaching is. When we talk about Living Way, I want you to talk about your encounter with Jesus Christ. I don't want to talk about parking spots and where you sat. I want to talk about on Wednesday night, I forgot the song they sang, but in that moment about 7:22, God's presence hit me like a sack of bricks, and it did something to me. It transformed me. What are you talking about? I'm talking about my encounter and my experience with Jesus. It qualifies me to stand toe-to-toe with the biggest giants on the face of the earth and say, it's not by power nor by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. What you've encountered, what you've observed and encountered are two different things. There's two types of people in this room and online. There's two types of people from the very onset. At 7:10, there were some of you watching worship and some of you worshiping. Watching worship doesn't do anything for you. The story of Mary breaking the alabaster box, Mary breaks the alabaster box, and Judas says, Lord, she is wasting it. We could have sold that in giving money to the poor. Listen, he would have never had a moment to judge her if he had been worshiping with her. I don't have time to judge people when I'm worshiping in the presence of God. And that's why I love that this is a worshiping church. Did you see so-and-so and how they were dressed? I'm sorry, I didn't see how they were dressed. I was lost in what God was doing. Man, so-and-so said this to me and did it. I'm sorry, I can't judge that. Why? Because I'm too busy sacrificing and breaking the alabaster box of my life. I didn't come to just observe what God is doing. I came to encounter the one and true living God. He changed my life. He's still changing my life. He'll change your life. And he doesn't change us just to change us. He changes us to prepare us for the Goliath and the giants that we are going to have to defeat and fight in Jesus' name. Not what we observe, only what we encounter or what we have undergone. That word undergone means what we have gone through. Believer, everything that you have been through has made you what you are today. Many times I've been asked, and it's usually by younger people, hey, Pastor Brandon, do you have any regrets? I don't have any regrets in my life. I don't live with regrets. I don't look at any of my past, even mistakes. I'm not regretful about those decisions. Why? Because everything that I did has shaped me into the man that I am today. And so I don't believe it's a butterfly effect, but I do believe that every decision and every choice that I make, no matter how big or small, has led me to this exact spot on August 3rd, 2022. So I do not live with regrets, but this is what I want to encourage you with. Every choice you make and everything that happens in your life, you have a choice, and you can let that thing and what you've been through, you can make that make you bitter or better. There are spouses that have been through ugly divorces that happened 10 years ago, and you're still bitter. And the reason you're single is because you're still bitter. Or maybe you married a second time and that one didn't work. Why? Because you moved on before you healed. You say, well, I wish I hadn't gone through that. Well, you did. So don't become bitter, become better. Now I know what type of man I don't want. Now I know what type of woman God doesn't want for me. God, I wish I hadn't gone through that. But man, I'm stronger putting up with him or putting up with her these last few years. Let me encourage you. I can put a Jesus spin on everything you've been through. Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So everything you go through, you have a chance to be bitter or better, weaker or wiser. You can be a victim. You can be a victor. You can be fearful or you can be faithful. I choose everything in my life, good, bad, or indifferent, is going to build my faith, strengthen my focus, make me a little bit wiser, a little bit smarter. The anointing's going to kick in. That's how I live my life. You say, Pastor, that's hard to do. Oh, it's very hard to do. I didn't say it was easy, but I said that's how I'm going to live my life. Realize this, if you're here on a Wednesday night in my community that's watching online tonight, if you're watching or in the room tonight, you've lived through some stuff. You've gone through some stuff that has taken other people out. You realize there's somebody hiding behind the mask of church hurt, and they went through the same thing you went through, but you didn't let that hurt follow you into 2022. You didn't let that bitterness follow you into August. You said, nope, that's a lie from the enemy. I'm not going to stop in 2021. I'm not going to stop in July. I'm going to move on. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. But I'm going to be what God has called me to be. Why? Because I can't defeat giants if I'm bitter. I can't put the devil in his place if I'm a victim. I choose to let everything that I've gone through shape me and become a part of my testimony. Somebody say, giants will fall. You've been through. If you're writing notes, write this down. Don't judge my breakthrough if you don't know my been through. You say people have been talking about all the good that's happening in my life. That's what we call breakthrough. That's the favor of God. That's God moving in your life. And it's amazing to me that the same people who like to start chirping real loud about all that God is doing in your life and all the good things that you're testifying about, those are the same people that were eerily quiet when you were going through hell 6 months ago, when you needed a friend and nobody was calling, nobody was returning texts, and they ghosted you. The same people that ghosted you when you needed them are now the ones that now that you've come out of that valley and you're on a mountaintop, they want to talk about what God's doing in your life and what you're doing and what you're talking about. But I say, don't judge my breakthrough if you didn't see my been through, because God has brought me through a lot. Oh, you see the cleaned up, polished version of who I am today? Let me tell you, let me show you who I used to be. And I'm not going to make apologies for everything that God has done. I know I've got Goliath's head, but you weren't that there in the backside of nowhere when I felt undervalued. I felt underappreciated. I felt forgotten. But here I am. God never forgot about me. And just because you didn't see me, the anointing was resting on me. And I'm here to tell you what God has done in my life. I am so excited about it, because if you've seen what I've been through, see what I've been through, you wouldn't judge. You wouldn't judge my breakthrough. 1 Samuel 16, our original text, the Lord said to Samuel, we're going to spend some time before we ever get to David talking about Samuel and Saul. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I rejected him as king over Israel? God says something that is so revealing about a man of God named Samuel. He said, Samuel, how long are you going to cry over something in some place that I've already moved on from? There is somebody in this room tonight that for the first 7 months of this year, you've been stuck crying over the Sauls of your life. Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it is a thing. But I am here to tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to shed some light and discernment on those things. And there's some things that you've been crying about. And there's some things that you've been lamenting. And there's some things that you've even been depressed about. And God is saying, I don't know why you're crying over there, because I'm over here doing a new thing. You're crying over Saul, and I've got a David. You're crying over a leader that couldn't get the job done, and I've already chosen a leader over here. Can I encourage you, while we cry about what could have been, God is shouting about what shall be. And I am here to tell you, you've got 5 months of this year left to get every, not your ducks in a row, but to get everything leaning towards what God is doing, leaning towards what God is going to do. I want to encourage you today to let the Sauls stay rejected. You don't need to ask why. You don't need to ask how. Let the Sauls be rejected and show me the next, and that's where I'm going to be. I said, how long will you cry? Samuel, the man of God, who hears from God, speaks from God, and God moves through. In some moments, he hears God so crystal clear, and in other moments, he cannot sense and cannot tell that God's Spirit is no longer in and on Saul. He has been rejected, the anointing has lifted, and Samuel is still talking to God about Saul, and God is saying, hey, Sam, I've got Dave over here, and Dave's waiting to be anointed, and all of it is hinging on you tonight, and I need you to get up, I need you to wipe your tears, I need you to fill up your horn of anointing oil, because we've got an appointment over here. You've wasted enough time crying over this. I'm talking to somebody today. You've wasted enough time crying over what used to be and over what you thought was the answer, when God is saying, fill that anointing up. I'm getting ready to show you the next. I'm getting ready to show you the new. And sometimes the new and the next doesn't look like the old. I'm about to preach myself happy. Sometimes what God is doing doesn't look like what God has done. Saul was 6'6". David was 5'6". Saul had muscles on muscles. David was a skinny, little scrawny man. And I'm here to tell you, none of that matters. Why? Because when the anointing is placed on you, your unqualified self doesn't matter anymore. That's why I don't need to know the color of your skin. I don't need to know what degrees you have. I don't need to know how old you are. All I need to know is, do you have the Spirit of God? If you have the Spirit of God, that's what counts. We've proven it Living Way. You can be anointed in a suit and in jeans. You can be anointed with a keyboard and B3, or you can be anointed with a guitar. You can be anointed at 14. You can be anointed at 84. You can be anointed as a black person. You can be anointed as a white person. You can be anointed as a woman. You can be anointed as a man. None of that other stuff matters. I just need to know, are you anointed? Are you carrying what God has put in you and on you? Are you the new thing that God is wanting to do? And if you are, I'm ready for you to be a part of what God is doing here at Living Way. How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Check this out. He rejected him as king. I've never noticed this until I read this week again. He never rejected him as a person. He rejected him as a king. God never discards people. He discarded position, but he never discarded people. You say, man, it feels like I've been demoted. Demotion is not always bad. Demotion can save your soul, because your title doesn't get you to heaven. Ooh, there's going to be a lot. I hope it's not a lot. There's going to be some pastors in hell, because they're dependent on their title. and they're dependent on their license, and they're dependent on their clerical collar, and they're dependent on seminary, and all of that, on all of those things. Some of them aren't going to make it to heaven because they thought that just because they stood on a platform, but listen, they were living like hell off the stage behind closed doors. I'm here to tell you, your title's not going to get you there. God will never reject you as a person, but he will take the title off of you. Why? Because some of us get drunk on the title, and it makes us who God has called us not to be, and the anointing will always make us what we're supposed to be. And so when we do not line up with what God is doing with his anointing, he says, well, let me just take that title away. I still love you, Saul, but I'm needing to do something with David over here. So let me just encourage you, don't get drunk with what God has done. Don't get drunk with what God has said about you. Don't get drunk with where God has taken you. Listen, it can all go away just like it comes, but I want to encourage you today, as a believer and a saint, God, you don't have to put no title on me. I want your anointing on me. You don't have to put anything else. You don't have to say anything else to anybody else about me. I want your spirit on me. Said, hey, Samuel, that guy over there, he doesn't have the anointing anymore. But get your anointing ready, because there's a young man over here that we're getting ready to anoint. Praise team, come. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. And I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Even Samuel missed the fact that God had moved on from Saul. He missed the fact that he had moved on. The people of Israel and Samuel had grown accustomed to making decisions based on outward appearance. And maybe we're not talking about people, church. Let's talk about situation. God calls us many times to situations that do not line up with the promise. If God puts us in a situation that doesn't line up with the promise, I can take that as a cue from God. I'm putting you here to change it. In my notes, it said, hold for applause. I'm waiting. You say, what does that mean? God says, hey, Abraham, you're going to have more sons than the stars in the sky and the sand of the desert. Oh, by the way, let me hook you up with a 90-year-old barren woman. Hey, Ezekiel, you're going to have an army of people that are going to, I'm talking about just slay the enemy. So what military base are we going to? Oh, we're not going to a military base. I'm just going to put you in a valley with a bunch of dry bones. But wait a minute, God, where you put me doesn't line up with your promise. Yeah, that's why I put you there. So if it doesn't look like what he promised me, I know, hey, I'm the man for the job, because what? I've got the anointing God has on me. Samuel, Saul looked like the man. David did not. But none of that matters, because God says what I'm getting ready to put on David and what I've already put in David is about to come out in such a way every giant that comes against Israel, they should all be scared. He said, go find him. He said, fill up your horn of anointing oil, go to Jesse's house. Check this out. We never read verse 2. We skip on to verse 5 usually. Verse 2, Samuel says, wait a minute, I can't do that. I cannot do what you're asking me to do, because he said, if Saul finds out, he's going to kill me. I shared with our leaders before we came out tonight in our devotion, I said this, that tonight as leaders, as people serving in the house, whether it's ushers, whether it's the tech ministries, greeters, the worship team, some of us have taken on the role of Samuel tonight, knowing that there's going to be Davids in the house that don't know they're going to be anointed. That we're talking to Davids in the room tonight, that you don't know that you're going to slay giants, and that God's going to use you to change things for your family or for your generation. But Samuel said this. Samuel said, God, what you're asking of me puts me in danger. This is what God said. No, no, no. He's not going to find out about it, because you're not going with just the reason to anoint another king. He said, I want you to take a heifer with you. And he said, you're going to sacrifice. And you're going to invite Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice. You're going to invite the elders to the sacrifice. This is where I want to end tonight. You know why you need to be a giant killer? You know why you need to rise up and become who God has created you to be? Because there are men and women that have come before us that have sacrificed so that we can stand here with a microphone in our hand, so that we can sit in a church on a Wednesday night and not be hiding underground somewhere or in an underground church or behind closed doors, whispering with oil lamps lit. Maybe it was the military, maybe it was a missionary, maybe it was a pastor 150 years ago, but I would be dumb and disrespectful to their sacrifice if I just did something without the anointing. If we change this church into a get-rich-quick scheme, if we change this church into make you feel good in 3 steps for a healthy marriage and then turn you loose, no, this will always be a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. This will always be a full gospel church. Why? Because we have had the anointing for 47 years, and people died to make sure this anointing would be carried on. People sacrificed millions of dollars to get us here today. Stand on your feet. I'm glad that I grew up when I grew up. I hear Bishop's stories. I hear Pastor Becky's stories. But when the church first started, the church didn't have any money. The building next door was started, but they didn't have enough money to finish it. I've heard Bishop's stories, and now I understand it. And now I'm like, well, that takes a lot of faith. I've heard his stories about the church getting a $1 million loan back in the 80s before the recession. And that $1 million loan had a variable interest rate, and it floated to 22%. That's $220,000 interest a year. That's $20,000 interest a month. Couldn't even make the interest payment. And here I do, I drive to church, park in my garage, come into my office. It's nice 68 degrees. And we talk about, yeah, let's do the backpacks. It's going to take $15,000 this year. All we got the money. And I'm just pastoring this church, and we're doing all of these things. And God reminded me, don't forget the sacrifice. Don't forget the Samuels that stood where you stood when there was no money. Come on. That stood where you stood when there was no people. That stood where you stood when there was all kinds of attacks again. That stood where you stood when cancer filled their bodies. That stood where you stood when people walked out. That stood where you stood. And it makes me embrace the anointing. It makes me think that no matter what I wear, I'll always be anointed. I'll always preach Jesus. I'll always cling to the cross. I'll always speak in tongues. I'll always talk about tithe. We'll always baptize in Jesus' name. We'll always talk about serving. We'll always have children's ministry. We'll always have you. Why? Because of the Samuels that sacrificed. Almost about to open the altar. I want to share one quick story. My great, great, I believe it would be my double great, or maybe my single great grandfather. And I might have this mixed up. I have this story on my desk, but when he first started preaching, got filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe they were raised Baptist. And when the Holy Ghost revival came into town, they went to the revival to make fun of the Pentecostals. And God radically filled them with the Holy Ghost. He would preach outside while people threatened him and threw things at him. And one of his relatives would stand there with a shotgun protecting him as he preached. And here I stand in a nice, beautiful building with a microphone. And I talk about my valleys. Oh, my valleys are nothing compared to those valleys. Come on, David, there's a Samuel that sacrificed. Don't forget the sacrifice. But we too make sacrifices for the next generation and the next generation. The way this world's going, I'll have to make tough decisions. The next 40 years, I'm ready to make them. You're ready to make them. But I want to open this altar right now to those of you. Maybe you're a Samuel, maybe you're a David, but you're saying, God, I need to know what's next. God, you've put me in some things that don't look like the promise, but God, I'm going to cling to you tonight. God, I'm going to look to you. God, I'm going to embrace faith. God, I'm going to embrace your anointing. Your anointing breaks the yoke. Your anointing makes up the difference.